the great truth that the Father gives certain people to the Son never excludes a person who wants to come to Christ. Never excludes. If you have an interest in coming to Jesus Christ today, you can take that as a sure sign that the Father is already working in your heart.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, today we begin a message, Jesus Will Welcome You, looking at John chapter 6, verse 37, great verse, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out."
It's one of my favorite promises of the Lord Jesus, and brings together two marvelous truths in the Bible that are friends, not enemies. The great truth of God's work in saving us. "All that the Father gives me will come to me," Jesus says. So there's a work of the Father that's involved in our salvation. And then Jesus says, "But whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." And so there's the whoever, this open invitation. Any person who wants to come to Jesus Christ is welcome to come and to do that. And I love the fact that these two great truths that are friends are put together by our Lord Jesus in one single verse. So glad that we have the opportunity of delving into this great promise in the program today.
It is such a powerful concept to understand. And so I'm really glad that you've tuned in. If you've ever wondered, how do I know that Jesus would accept me? This is a great day to be listening. As you just heard, we're in John chapter 6, really focusing on verse 37. So join us there as we begin the message, Jesus Will Welcome You. Here is Pastor Colin.
Now, one of the joys of watching football on television is that you see far more on television than you would if you actually went to the game. And it's much, 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 much warmer, right? When the Bears score a touchdown, the replays show you the complexity of what was going on in the play from different angles. And so as you look at the replays on the television, you know, you see the play, then you see something more of what was going on when you get the reverse angle, then you get the camera that's down the touchline, and so forth and so on. You are looking at the same event, but the different camera angles give you a much more fully orbed picture, a much fuller picture than you would have if you only saw it from one point of view. Putting the angles of the cameras together and seeing them the one after the other gives to you what you would have missed if you had only seen one particular shot. Now, I find that a helpful way to think about the verse that's before us today, because what this verse does is it really gives to us three camera angles, as it were, on the one event of our salvation. The first camera is trained on God the Father. All that the Father gives me. So here's the snapshot of what the Father is doing. Second camera is trained and focused on the sinner coming to Jesus Christ. Whoever comes to me. So here's another picture now of a sinner coming to Jesus Christ. Third camera is focused on the Lord Jesus Christ himself receiving the sinner who comes to him and who the Father has given to him. I will never turn away. And so you really have the full picture of what is going on in your salvation. Right here in this one verse, what is happening? The Father gives. The sinner comes. The Savior receives. These are the three great movements of your salvation. You may have seen one of them. When you see all of them, you see the full glory of all that is involved in your salvation in Jesus Christ. And that's what I want us to see today. And then I want us to grasp how this can make a difference in every one of our lives. So I hope you have the scripture open in front of you and that this will become part of us as we think about it today. Let's look first then at the first camera angle the Father gives. Jesus says, "All that the Father gives me will come to me." Now, this is making very clear that the Father gives the gift of people to his Son. All that the Father gives me. Jesus speaks, not only here, but in other places too, about people as the Father's gift to him. For example, John chapter 17, when Jesus prays to the Father just before he goes to the cross, in that prayer he says, John 17:6, I have revealed you, he says, to those whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, but you gave them to me. And then Jesus prays in John 17 and verse 9, I'm praying for them, he says. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, because they are yours. And here Jesus uses the same language, all that the Father gives me. So this is a characteristic way of Jesus speaking about believers. How does Jesus speak about believers? He describes us as those that the Father has given to him. Second obvious thing from this statement of Jesus is that the people who are given to Christ come to him. Jesus says, all that the Father gives me will come to me. So who are these people that the Father gives to the Son? The answer is that they are the ones who come to him. They come to him because they have been given to him. And how do they come? Well, Jesus says in verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. So we're filling out the picture here. The Father gives certain people to the Son. The Father draws these people to his Son. And these people come to his Son. Third observation from this statement of Jesus, nothing can stop the people who are given to Christ from coming to Christ. How many of the people who the Father gives to the Son actually come to him? I'm asking you a question. How many, from this verse, first word, how many of the people that the Father gives to the Son actually come to him? All of them. All of them. So that on the last day, when the Son of God stands in the presence of the Father, we're told in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 13 that the Son of God will say to the Father, here am I and the children you have given me. It's a wonderful statement. He's not saying on the last day, Father, I got some of them. He's saying on the last day, Father, I've got all of them. Here I am and the children that you have given to me. And this emphasis is very clear in what Jesus says right here in John 6. If you just read on, verse 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven to not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And what's the will of him who sent me? Verse 40, that I shall lose none of all that he has given to me, but I shall raise them up on the last day. So if you have come to Jesus Christ, you can have total confidence in him. He says, I shall lose none of those the Father has given to me. I won't lose one. So all of the people who are given by the Father actually come to the Son. This is the first great movement of the gospel. It is magnificent. The camera, as it were, that is trained on the activity of the Father. What is the Father doing? Is he standing by passively, just waiting to see what the world's going to do about Jesus? No, he gives people to his Son.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called Jesus Will Welcome You, a look at John 6:37, and part of our series, Rock Solid, Seven Promises Christ Makes to You. And if you ever miss a broadcast in our series, you can listen online. Come to openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also listen through the Open the Bible app, which you'll find for free at your app store, or again, listen online at openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Second camera is focused on the sinner coming to Jesus. The Father gives, the sinner comes. Notice what Jesus says. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Now notice from this statement the very obvious fact that Jesus invites all people to come to him. whoever comes to me. You can't get more inclusive than that. Whoever. Whoever includes whoever. It certainly includes you. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his word here, clearly invites all people to come to him. Now, it's very interesting to me that God himself has put these two lines right next to each other in the scripture. Don't you think that's significant? Isn't that telling us something important? That the great truth that the Father gives certain people to the Son never excludes a person who wants to come to Christ. Never excludes. If you have an interest in coming to Jesus Christ today, you can take that as a sure sign that the Father is already working in your heart. I had a wonderful conversation with one of our high school students a number of weeks ago. Very thoughtful lad. He is a senior in high school this year. And he said to me, "Colin, for a number of years, I really struggled with the question of whether or not I'm one of the elect." He's a very thoughtful guy. I don't suppose there are scores of high school students who are worrying about this question, but for some years he had been thinking very seriously, what if I'm not one of the elect? And then he said to me, "Then one day I realized if I never came to Christ, I'd never know." He said, "So I came to Christ." And he said, "Since then, what used to worry me has become to me a great joy." Now, I want to say to you today, do not worry about whether you are among the elect. If that question plagues you or bothers you in any kind of way, I simply want to say to you that that high schooler had great wisdom. Here's what you must do. You look to Jesus Christ. You come to him. You trust in him. You take hold of this. The Son of God never slams the door in the face of anyone who wants to come to him. No, not ever. Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. That's what he says. That's what he says to you. So you must come to him. And when you come to him, he will welcome you. And when you come to him, you will know with joy that the Father gave you to his Son. Then I want us to make another observation on this second camera angle of the sinner coming to Jesus Christ. That those who come to Christ see something great in Jesus Christ. See, we've looked at Jesus' words about the Father drawing people to Christ, but from the second camera angle, where we're looking now at the sinner, from the experience of the person coming to Christ, when I'm coming to Christ, why do I come to Christ? I come to Christ because I see something great in Jesus Christ. That is the experience of every Christian. There's no such thing as a Christian who doesn't see something great in Jesus Christ. John Bunyan, you know who wrote Pilgrim's Progress? That's his most famous book. He actually wrote a whole book on this one verse. It's a wonderful book. And in it, he asks this question for Christians. What have you found in Jesus Christ? Now, that's a very good question. What have you found in Jesus Christ that is life-changing to you? What difference has it made? His point is very simple. Those who come to Christ see something compelling in Jesus Christ. So you say you have come to Christ. What is it in Jesus Christ that is life-changing for you? What is it in Jesus Christ that is compelling to you? What is it in Jesus Christ that is changing you, that is changing the way that you live? And he goes on to make the point this way. He says, Abraham saw in Christ something big enough to make him leave his own country for a place that God would lead him. You see something big enough in Christ to make you do a thing like that? Moses saw something great enough in him, in Christ, to give up the comfort of life in a palace in Egypt in order to live in the desert with the people of God criticizing him. Do you see enough in Jesus Christ to put up with that kind of discomfort and to choose it? Daniel saw enough in Jesus Christ to enable him to live with integrity in an aggressively secular world, even when it meant him being thrown in a den of lions. So enough in Jesus Christ to enable him to do that. So Bunyan asks, what have you found in Jesus Christ? What do you see in him? Because coming to Jesus Christ, by definition, involves seeing something in him that draws you, a love that compels you, a purity that attracts you, a glory that lifts you. What you see in Jesus Christ is the thing that will wean you away from your sins. So if you don't see much in him, you won't change much. But when you see something of the love and the compelling glory of Jesus Christ, you will find something within you that begins to say, I want to change. I want to be holy. I want to be forgiven. I want to be at peace with God. I'm tired of living for myself. I want to live for Christ. That is the experience of every Christian. That, by the way, is why a ministry that leads to lives changing must have Jesus Christ at the center. Because what happens when he is lifted up? What does he do? He says, I will draw people to myself. That's where life change begins. In you seeing something great in Jesus Christ. So, two camera angles. The Father gives. The sinner comes. Here's the third. The Son of God, the Savior, receives. Whoever comes to me, Jesus says, these are marvelous words, I will never drive away. Now, how good it is for us just to take these words in. When you come to Jesus Christ, he is there for you. When you draw near to him, he is ready to receive you, and he gives you his word, I won't ever drive you away. It's interesting, and I think it's significant that the word comes here is in the present continuous tense, is coming. Whoever is coming, I will not drive away. Whoever's in the process of coming, we might say. Whoever's on his way to me or on her way to me, I will never cast them out. Think in your mind's eye of the prodigal son on his way home. He started the journey away from the pigs where he's been. He's not yet back to the father, but he's on the way home. That's what Jesus is talking about. He hasn't arrived yet. Whoever is coming to me, I will never drive them away. Bunyan has this marvelous comment. He says, Jesus Christ has his eye upon, and he takes notice of the first moving of the heart of a sinner after himself. So if you have the first stirring of being drawn to Jesus Christ, the first sense that you're not content to live with your life as it is, being about yourself, the first inkling that you want to move away from your sins, the Son of God sees you coming. The Son of God has his arms, as it were, stretched out. He sees the first movement of your heart. He already knows who the Father has given to him, so he is watching to see this movement and doing so with joy. So I want to encourage you, if you see the faintest stirring within your own heart towards the Lord Jesus Christ today, you have every reason for hope in him. So use this as an incentive to speed your path to Jesus Christ today. See, think about the prodigal son. Remember Jesus' famous story about the guy who leaves the father and wastes all his resources and eventually comes to the end of himself and begins the long journey home. How fast do you think he walked? I don't think he walked very fast. I expect that in his mind, he was anticipating a long lecture about wasted money, wasted gifts, and wasted years. Maybe that is one reason why he stayed away so long. But now he is so desperate, he thinks he has no other alternative, and so he begins this long, weary trudge home. And he's on the way. Put yourself in his shoes. You expect to be hauled over the coals. And then, as you're trudging your way forward, what happens? You hear a voice. It's a familiar voice, and it's calling your name. And you look up, and it's Father. And he's running towards you. And as he gets nearer, his robes up around his knees, running as best he can, his arms are outstretched, and as he gets nearer still, you see there are tears running down his face. Do you walk towards him quicker or slower when you see that? You see, it is the knowledge of the love of Christ, the welcome of Christ. When you see that, it will hasten your progress to faith in him. That is why in every presentation of the gospel, we must always make clear the love of Jesus Christ, the eye of Jesus Christ and the heart of Jesus Christ towards every person who will come to him. Listen to what he says. Whoever comes to me, I will not ever drive away. So use this as an incentive to come to him. As you come to Jesus Christ, you lift up your eyes, as it were, and look forward and take in this picture of Jesus Christ ready to welcome you, there for you, already knowing that you're coming because he knows who the Father has given, and full of joy in his heart to receive you.
I don't know about you, but I think it's been so helpful to look at John 6:37 through those three camera angles and to look at the promise that Jesus will welcome you. It's one of the seven promises that we're exploring in our series, Rock Solid, because they're the promises of Jesus that we can actually count on. If you're interested in getting a copy of the series on CD, ask about Rock Solid when you call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or you'll find ordering information online at openthebible.org. Well, if you're a regular listener to Open the Bible, you know that we depend on your financial generosity to keep Pastor Cullen's teaching available on the station each day. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to offer you two copies of Pastor Cullen's new illustrated book called Christmas Stories. One copy for you, one to give away. And it tells the story of the birth of Christ from the perspective of five different Bible characters, from the angel Gabriel, Mary, Joseph, Simeon, even King Herod. And Colin, what is one thing that you would like people to take away from reading this book?
Well, I really hope and pray that when people read this, they will just have a fresh sense of wonder at what it meant for God to become a man in Christ Jesus, for the Lord Jesus to be born into the world and to become our Savior. It is indeed the greatest story ever told. And for it to be fresh and to be seen in its wonder is just a marvelous thing. But then I hope that having read it, people will take the opportunity to perhaps read one of these chapters at the dinner table at Christmas or at some other Christmas event where loved ones are gathered together. And you could just take this little book out, Christmas Stories, and you could say, let's take 5 minutes before we eat to read the Christmas story, or perhaps after the meal would be a good time to do it. It'll only take about 5 minutes at the most to read this, but it's a way of presenting to people you know and love who may be in your home and celebrating Christmas with you the good news of Jesus Christ so that eyes may be directed to him.
Well, we want to send you two copies of this book, Christmas Stories, as our way of saying thank you for giving a gift to Open the Bible this month. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. Again, the website is openthebible.org and our phone number is 1-877-673-6365. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
This is Pastor Colin, and I want you to know about a resource that will help you in your devotional life. It's called Open the Bible Daily. My colleague, Pastor Tim Augustine, takes what you hear on Open the Bible and he edits it into daily bite-sized chunks that you can read in your devotional time in less than 3 minutes. Every day, you'll find a verse of Scripture, a short teaching from God's Word, and an application that you can carry with you through the day. People who use this tell us that they read it every day, and I think that if you try it, you'll love it too. For more information, visit openthebible.org/daily. That's openthebible.org/daily.